He was a mathematician who changed the world, but Iraqi exile and political activist Ahmad Chalabi was no Alan Turing. Chalabi, who died of a heart attack this week at his home in Baghdad, was a voice who led the call for an invasion of Iraq after 9/11, who had been influencing the U.S. government to take out Saddam Hussein for years. To some, Ahmad Chalabi was the man who sold the war to the White House, the Pentagon, and the American people. Here he is on the PBS WGBH program Frontline back in 2003.
You have strong evidence that there's links between Al-Qaeda
see,
and
the point
and
is
Saddam Hussein.
U.S.
Well, where are these? Where is this evidence, though?
In U.S. hands.
And that is a document that you could show us.
I've seen it, but I don't have it in my possession. They could show it to you, I think.
Chalabi was born in Iraq and went from a career in mathematics to finance, to being a man who made a mission out of toppling Saddam Hussein, a voice of a loud opposition who was loudest behind the scenes in the corridors of power where it mattered most. His daughter Tamara, who spoke on this program in 2011, remembered that his voice was loud about his plans for Iraq from the time she was a little girl.
I grew up in a household from a very early age that was absolutely obsessed with Saddam Hussein and his dictatorship and wanting to get rid of it and fighting it, and it wasn't just my father. So witnessing history unfold was very dramatic and out of control
indeed,
on many instances.
Tamara Chalabi's father, Ahmed, was often talked about as a possible successor to Saddam Hussein in the event of a war in Iraq. But when things didn't go as planned, his role suddenly changed.
We are sorry for every American life that is lost in Iraq. And I regret every loss of American lives that happened in Iraq subsequent to the end of fighting with Saddam. As for the fact that I deliberately misled the American government, this is an urban myth.
But it's no myth that Chalabi supplied questionable intelligence against Saddam Hussein, and especially after 9/11, to very sympathetic American officials for decades. He was never remorseful about his role in encouraging a U.S. invasion, but he also called himself a bit player, as did U.S. officials, after the war went badly.
I don't remember anybody walking into my office saying, Chalabi says this is the way it's going to be in Iraq. Chalabi? My meetings with him were very brief. I mean, I think I met with him at the State of the Union and just kind of working through the rope line, and he might have come with a group of leaders, but I haven't had any extensive conversations with him.
Mr. Chalabi's vision for Iraq was instrumental in causing the de-Ba'athification process. But when the Coalition Provisional Authority decided to ease its screening process after unrest of former Iraqi military and Ba'ath Party officials, Chalabi likened it to re-employing the Nazis in Germany. He insisted on a full transfer of sovereignty on June 30th, including Iraqi control over the country's military and finances, a fatal decision in the end.
The flaws in the intelligence are plain enough in hindsight, but any suggestion that pre-war information was distorted, hyped, or fabricated by the leader of the nation is utterly false.
Vice President Dick Cheney and Defense Secretary Don Rumsfeld had met with Chalabi days before this statement was made in November of 2005. As for Chalabi himself, as the president-in-waiting in Iraq, former Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz said that was also bunk.
Another myth about Ahmad Chalabi, who was constantly portrayed, is still constantly portrayed, as somehow the Karzai of the Pentagon, I suppose you could say, the person the Pentagon wanted to install as the leader of Iraq. But he says correctly, for Donald Rumsfeld, it was a consistent principle that U.S. officials should not try to pick specific leaders for other countries. But state and CIA officials tended not to share this principle. To them, Rumsfeld's insistence that the U.S. government should not discriminate for or against any of the friendly pro-democratic groups was seen merely as camouflage for a campaign to anoint Chalabi.
That's Paul Wolfowitz speaking back in 2008. Ahmad Chalabi eventually went back to his home and, as a skilled political operative, managed to find credibility in the murky world of Iraqi politics, if not success there. He died in the homeland where he was born, living out a reality no doubt very different from his lifelong dreams for Iraq, but pleasant enough, among the palm groves on his large farm in Baghdad.
There's
a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.